You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 3rd of December 2021, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. We've reached the end of another week. The weekend is almost here. You're either driving home from work in Britain or listening on your lunch hour in America, and we know why you're listening today. You're listening today because we have our special guest from Texas with us today. We have Grandpa Dan with us. Grandpa, how are you doing, sir?
It's great to be back after a week hiatus. We had the Thanksgiving holiday here in the U.S., so I basically took a week away from our Friday installment of Clown World in Review, as well as our Parish of the Patriot show. Everything's back to normal, though, folks. Calm down. It's all good. And yes, just with everything on that note, we're back to Clown World once again this week.
We certainly are. And we've actually got a very topical story this week, following on from the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict and the triumph that was. And we predicted that he was likely to be attacked by the left. And that is what's been going on, despite the fact that he's been found not guilty of all the charges. Several left-leaning student organizations at Arizona State University are demanding that their administration withdraw Kyle Rittenhouse from the university. The Arizona State University Students for Socialism, Students for Justice in Palestine, Multicultural Solidarity Coalition, and Mecca de Asu are all calling on the Arizona State University administration to take action against Rittenhouse by withdrawing him from the university and releasing a statement against him. And the four groups are calling him murderer, Kyle Rittenhouse. I mean, it's just incredible the way that they just continue this slander. The guy has been found not guilty. It was self-defense. If he hadn't have defended himself, his brains would have been smashed out by a skateboard, or he would have been shot in the face by the other guy that was pulling a gun on him. I mean, this was so obviously self-defense. And what they're claiming is that what this means is that anybody can just go out whenever there's a Black Lives Matter protest and shoot people. Well, that's not what happened. These people attacked him. They tried to kill him. And he was just there putting out fires, and he was there tending to the wounded with his first aid kit. It's a young lad. He's only 16, 17 years of age, and he's been made out to be this terrible white supremacist evil murderer by the mainstream media. And now that he's been found not guilty, he's still facing all of this. I mean, he's done an interview with Tucker Carlson. He said he supports Black Lives Matter. He was never political in the first place. He was part of the Yang Gang. And yet, simply because he defended himself, he's been portrayed as a white supremacist and all the rest of it. And now you've got these left-wing organizations at the university that are trying to prevent him from even having an education. And we know that they go after people and try to get them so that they lose their jobs, so that they can't produce an income for their family. But to literally try and prevent somebody from having an education, this really is a new low, I think. Grandpa, what do you make of this?
I love how the media in this story refers to these groups as quote-unquote left-leaning student organizations. Then you get down to the groups, and they're all basically hardcore communists. I mean, what would it take for a group to be like a literal, for the media to say, we have these literal communist organizations on campus that are demanding this? I mean, what would it take? They're just left-leaning. Now, we know if it was like a normie-tier conservative college group, it would be their evil white supremacists who just, you know, I mean, it would be hardcore right group, and it's just some kind of normal MAGA Trump thing. And I'd also like to say, in the context of this story, though it doesn't have anything directly to do with the story necessarily, but I'd like to just kind of lay the background of reminding everybody how quickly the media had just completely memory-holed the story of the black political activist who got out of jail, who mowed down white people at a Christmas parade. And that was obviously what he was intending to do. He went and mowed down white people, targeted white people, and killed white people at a Christmas parade. You had the media going, oh, it was an SUV did it. It was an accident involving an SUV. The SUV did it. They won't even name the guy. And now the story, by the way, here in the U.S. is just completely memory-holed. It's gone. It's just vaporize and disappear. Needless to say, we're still talking about Kyle Rittenhouse, and you still have these people insisting that he's this horrendous murderer, even though court of law has said otherwise. Now, I wonder how you pointed out that one of the things he was doing is going around and tending to the wounded, you know, tending to people, doing first aid for people. Now, the same shitlibs are telling us this was a peaceful protest in light of all of the looting, burning, property destruction. Now, if these were all peaceful protests, how come there were wounded to be tended to? These people were going around assaulting and attacking all kinds of people. They were just dumb enough and fool themselves to, you know, attack somebody that was openly armed. I mean, that was just, you know, that was just really, really stupid on their part. But yeah, no, it was mostly peaceful, you know, and this guy just went out there and gunned them down like for sport or something. That is how ridiculous the narrative has become. And now we're at this point. I was surprised by the verdict, because I have like zero faith in the legal system here in the U.S. now. So I was surprised. My impression was that the judge didn't get the memo that this was supposed to be a railroad trial. And so they were all shocked when he didn't, you know, allow the prosecution to do things such as just pretend the Fifth Amendment doesn't exist anymore and use your right to remain silent against you to say you're guilty. And now these people are all outraged. They didn't get their way. They wanted a railroad trial. They wanted him to be found guilty regardless of the evidence, regardless of the circumstance. They didn't get their way. And instead of coming out and saying, well, we don't agree with the verdict, but we have to respect it or something like that, you know, like normal people would do, they're coming out like saying, oh, this injustice, this system doesn't work. This racist white supremacist system and the racist white supremacist jury, the racist white supremacist judge, they all let a murderer get off, and they just can't let it go. And now we got this. Oh, well, we shouldn't allow this guy to be enrolled at this campus because, I don't know, white supremacy or something. It's all just getting really old, and it has to be getting really old to the general public at this point. We always have to remember that this stuff is amplified. These people are not the majority. It's just everybody else has been pretty much banned off of all social media and such. There, you know, you don't have normal right-wing nationalist groups that are allowed to be on campus. You just have these groups. So it gives this impression that there's this huge amount of people, and they're not. And I think for the vast majority, I think they're getting really, really tired of this song and dance from these people.
You know, it's good that you bring that up, because I think there was actually a counter protest to this. I saw a news report on RT, and they interviewed someone. He was a Republican, and he was saying that there's actually more people supporting Kyle Rittenhouse in the counter protest than there actually are with these left wing groups. But I can't find a text report of that. And you bring up the Wokeshaw terrorist attack there, and I have to credit the National Justice Party. They actually went to Wokeshaw and they walked around with a loudspeaker pointing out that this guy that had just run all these people over was a black supremacist, and his social media was full of anti-white slurs, talking about wanting to attack white people. Very clear that that was his intent, basically. He wanted to hurt white people. So I have to credit them for drawing attention to that, because, as you say, it's just completely disappeared out of the news cycle now. Well, Rittenhouse was found not guilty on all charges against him as jurors finished deliberations on November the 19th. He faced charges after fatally shooting two people and shooting and injuring a third man during the riots in Kenosha, Wisconsin on August 25th, 2020. And of course, they were all white or Jewish. They certainly weren't black. And yet this has been portrayed as if he was shooting black folks and it was just open season on black folks after Rittenhouse has been found innocent of these charges. But they were actually white. And Rittenhouse himself is a student at Arizona State University online, according to 12 News. So there's no chance that he's going to be bumping into these poor, timid, frightened left-wing students that are terrified that he's just going to start shooting them. because he's only going to be doing his lessons online. I mean, what business is it of them that he's doing his lessons online? It just makes it so clear that they just want to persecute him. You know, they're not frightened that that they're not going to be safe at the university, because there's no chance that they're even going to meet him. They just simply want to target him and prevent him from having an education, don't you think?
Yeah, that online right there was the that's the punchline to the story. When I found this story, I started reading it, blah, blah, blah. Oh, he's so dangerous. Oh, he's a murderer. We don't feel safe on campus. And then I get to the part where he's enrolled online. It's like, seriously, like he's going to come through the computer with his white supremacy and his AR and threaten your safety online. Yeah, it is. This is, as you point out, I mean, this is really just their usual unpersoning. You know, they unperson somebody. He shouldn't be allowed to basically exist. Like, they didn't get their way in the legal system. We're supposed to be a nation of laws, but obviously they don't like that idea. So he's supposed to be unpersoned. He's not even supposed to be able to do online courses. I mean, really? That's where we're at now. And that's what they do. They've had so much success because everybody runs around and bows down and gives them their way every time they raise a stink. So they're kind of like spoiled kids. They think if they throw a big enough fit, they'll get their way. They kick up enough dust, scream, throw enough big enough fit, they'll get their way. But it's absolutely ridiculous that they're claiming that somehow this is about safety and all of this, when the guy's just enrolled in online courses. I mean, it's absolutely ludicrous. Now, the university's between a rock and a hard place, because if they gave these people their way, and I saw an update to this story this morning, and the university came out and said, well, yeah, no, we're not going to do that. And it winds up Kyle Rittenhouse has pretty much voluntarily already had disenrolled himself. So it's kind of, in a way, a moot point. But the university is in this situation is between a rock and a hard place, because if they sit there and kick him out, I mean, he can sue them. I mean, these things are basically contracts. They can't just unilaterally say, well, we're just going back on that deal. So they'll be opening themselves up to huge lawsuit if they do that. But then on the other hand, they have these screeching communists over here demanding that he be unpersoned. What do we do? I keep saying this over and over again. I just long for organizations, companies, employers, schools to tell these people to go away, to shut the hell up and get the hell out. Just piss off. We're not going to give you your way. No, we don't care if you're upset. No, they always you see all of these campaigns to deperson somebody, deplatform somebody. And it doesn't seem like anybody ever has the courage to just say, piss off. No, we don't care if you don't like it. What are you going to do? Go away. No. Raise your stink. Go away. Most of the time, if it's a company that's like, well, we're going to boycott you, so you weren't going to buy the product anyway. We don't care. But nobody ever seems to have the courage to do that. They always bow down. They always flop. They always give them their way. They always kowtow, always wind up apologizing, blah, blah, blah. Somebody's got to stand up and tell these people to piss off, because then they'll go away. As long as they don't get their way, then they'll move on to the next target. But it is utterly absurd that they're claiming that somehow they don't feel safe because they don't, you know, this guy's enrolled in an online, in an online course. Of course, we're going to get into here in a minute that there's a little more to it than that, because, oh, lo and behold, they want the money.
Oh, yeah, they're making extra demands as well. It's not just that they don't want him to be there online. The groups are also demanding that the university administration reaffirm support for the multicultural center on campus as a safe space from white supremacy. So what they're really implying there is that they're demanding that the university accuse Kyle Rittenhouse of being a white supremacist. Students are also making the demands that they want the administration to redirect funding from the Arizona State University Police Department to the Multicultural Center. And they are demanding the establishment of a care center on campus. So they don't want the police there, basically. They're saying, we want to get the police out of the campus, and any money that goes to the police, we want that to go to multiculturalism. And the Multicultural Center, we know what these multicultural centers are like. We saw a video a while back where there were two white students that were in the multicultural center, and they were told that they don't have a culture and they have no place being in there. And the very fact that they were in there were making the people of colour feel unsafe. So the multicultural centre just means no white people. The reaffirmation of support for it and a condemnation of white supremacy is just a condemnation of white people. And if they start diverting the funds from the police department to it, and there's no police on campus, then there'll just be an increased crime rate, surely. You'll end up with muggers and drug dealers and everything else there. You'll end up with all the sorts of problems that America now has after defunding the police. I mean, the murder rate has gone through the roof. I think there were more people killed last year in America than ever before, more robberies than ever before, and all of it centered around these places where they've defunded the police, and they're just going to try and turn the Arizona State University into another lawless place where criminals and thugs can get away with it, and they'll still be demanding that it's white supremacy's fault, it's white people's fault that there's been this increase in crime. I mean, I don't understand why they need a care center on campus. Anyway, these are supposed to be students, not poor children that need to be cared for. They're supposed to be adults. They're supposed to be able to take on challenging ideas and hold debates. They're not supposed to be these snowflakes that need protecting from everything. What about, I mean, when you think about this as well, this demand that they talk about, we need this multicultural center as a safe space from white supremacy. They just use this slur word, white supremacy, all the time. You see it in the headlines where they just attack people and call them white supremacist. I mean, it's just like calling people a nasty word or a nasty name. And the last thing that Carl Rittenhouse is a white supremacist. I mean, that was quite clear from the interview that he gave with Tucker Carlson. But they don't pay any attention to that. It's just the fact that he's white makes him a white supremacist. What do you think of their demands here, Grandpa?
Well, first comes the outrage, then you get the shakedown for the money. It's this normal pattern. They throw an outrage fit. They want him to be unpersoned, but that's not enough. Now we get to the meat of the issue. They want to shake the university down for money for their quote-unquote multicultural center, which is just basically a meetup place, a central planning place for their anti-white race hate agenda. Now, once again, they throw this term around, white supremacy, the white supremacy, and nobody ever gives us an actual definition of what that means. I have yet to see anybody really, like you said, it's just a slur. They can't give you an actual, I want a dictionary definition so that we can look at these things logically and objectively and see if it's quote unquote white supremacy. Because let me tell you, there is no definition, because what it actually means is if you are white, that's white supremacy. If you exist, that's a problem. They openly are talking now about ending whiteness. And what does that look like? Waukesha? I mean, seriously, this is what ending whiteness looks like. I've always said when they started moving from just whining about white supremacy to we've got to end whiteness, what does that look like? Because the only way you're going to do that is to get rid of the white people. This really is an anti-white race hate agenda. And if you wait just a little bit, you see the shakedown for the money and then you see the mask come off. It is about anti-white race hate and promoting that agenda. I have no idea what a care center, what does that even mean? And this is just reflective of what happens. You know, I know you've talked about it before. We've talked about it together on the show. You know, universities used to be not everybody went. It used to be like, well, if you were in the top percentage of very gifted, talented students and you went to university, but the vast, vast majority of people did not. Now that's turned into yet another money-making machine over the years. And so they funnel as many of these people into the university so they can get money off this tuition. So you've got all of these people have no business being in university. They're midwits at best. They're midwits at best, but yet here they are at university. And instead of like applying to their studies, applying themselves to really study hard, to try to excel, to try to get what they can out, maybe they can contribute something to society. Maybe they can do something with their lives with a degree and an education. They spend their time worrying about a care center and a multicultural center and all of this other crap on campus. Why? Because they have no business being there in the first place. If universities were carrying out the jobs they were intended to originally, those people wouldn't even be there. Deep down inside, I guess they know this. So instead, we just have communist organizations. They have no business being there. I've always said when we had all the Antifa stuff going on a couple summers ago and all that, imagine this, you got all these people running around pretending on the street like they're doing some communist revolution. Most of them are college student age, obviously upper middle class white people, because poor white people aren't out in the street doing that. You know, and it's like they're going to university on mom and daddy's money. And I always said, if I was that kid's if I was that kid's daddy and I turned on the TV and I'm paying $25,000 a semester to send this little shit to school, and this is what he's doing with his time there, I'd be calling him up and be like, well, you know, you're an adult now. You can do what you want. I can't tell you. You can't go on the street and LARP as a communist revolutionary for the working people or whatever the hell. But I'm done paying for your shit. I'm done paying your tuition bill. You know, reel some of that stuff in. But I really think this is reflective of what happens when you lower the standards. And instead of university being a place where you're gifted, elite, you know, highly intelligent, talented people go to get a higher education, you make it for everybody, and you wind up with a bunch of freaking midwits in there who have no business being there in the first place. So they're just spending their time pretending to be communist revolutionaries.
I should imagine that a large portion of them are all white as well. The majority of the people that are actually doing this will be white. The groups are also hosting a rally and protest to get murderer Kyle Rittenhouse off our campus on December the 1st at Arizona State University. Even with a not guilty verdict from a flawed justice system, Kyle Rittenhouse is still guilty to his victims. And the families of those victims, the demand letter states. Join us to demand from ASU that those demands be met to protect students from a violent, bloodthirsty murderer. So they're having a rally to get the guy off campus. He's not even on campus. He's doing an online course. And they claim here that he actually had victims. I mean, they weren't allowed to describe him as victims in the court, I don't think, because they weren't victims. They were attackers. They were predators. They were trying to attack him. He defended himself. And yet they hold these people up that really shouldn't have attacked him and just got what they deserve, basically. They're claiming they're victims. And when you look into what these so-called victims were like, I mean, one of them had anally raped children, a number of children under the age of 9. That was one of them. I think another one had just come out of a mental hospital and he was a wife beater. I mean, you really couldn't pick worse people to hold up as heroes. And this is what we see with the left. All of their heroes that they hold up as being victims and marchers, they're all hardcore criminals. They're all gangsters. I mean, this is, you know, it seems to me as if this is life saying to us, we should not be following these guys. It's very, very obvious you should not be following these guys. Just look at the people that they hold up as heroes. It's your own fault if you go along with them, and you're just going to get more trouble. And that's the way that it is. The more we support people like this, the more our establishment support them, the more the general public go along with the lies that are in the newspapers, the worse life is made for us, and the more people complain. And the solution to it is to stop believing this stuff and point out what is right. And this is quite clearly wrong. Kyle Rittenhouse is clearly a very decent young man. I mean, it's quite incredible that he turned out such a good man when there's no father around. I mean, he's just been brought up by his mother. And yet there he was putting his life on the line to bring people first aid. And he said that, you know, the only reason why he was interested in Trump is because Trump supported the police. I mean, this young lad just always wanted to be in the police. He was in the police cadets. I mean, this is somebody that wants to do good for society. And they've made him out, the left have made him out to be a the devil incarnate. And this really does show us what the left are like. I think. What do you think of this plan of theirs to get the murderer off campus, Grandpa?
Well, whenever I read stories like this and this extreme language these people use, I always think we do well just to always have that backdrop behind there of remembering, you know, as nationalists, how no matter how carefully we choose our words, they try to twist them and turn it into we're somehow inciting something, or we're somehow doing this, or we're somehow doing this nefarious evil thing. You know, no matter how well we try to choose our words and be sure that they can't be taken out of context and framed incorrectly. Now, they're going around calling this guy things like bloodthirsty murder. And this is an organization doing this, by the way. This is an organization. This is just some rando anon on Twitter. This is an online, I assume, sanctioned on-campus organization. The university is sanctioning this organization. I don't see how there's not liability for slander here. I mean, you can't just go out as an organization and call people names. Bloodthirsty murder. The guy's been found legally. No, he's not a murderer at all. Legally speaking, he is not. Yes, people were killed, but he's not a bloodthirsty murderer. That's over the top language that I really think crosses into actionable. I mean, I'm obviously not a legal expert, but I mean, if it just seems actionable to me. You have an organization that's sanctioned by the university on campus running around slandering people now. And that is somehow legal. That's somehow allowed. That's hard for me to believe, even in current clown world, that there couldn't be some pushback on this. But here we are in the nationalist community. We make sure that everything we say is put in a way that can't be taken out of context, so nobody can twist. And yet they still try. They still sit there and say, well, if you stand on your head and close one eye and kind of wiggle around and spin around in a circle three times, you could construe that as some sort of incitement to something. Now you have these people that they're just free. They're free to use what sort of slanderous, insightful, over the top rhetoric they want without any sort of repercussion. It's really a reflection. We definitely live in a different tiered society as far as the way you're treated by the legals is the way you're treated in these cases. As far as if you're a nationalist versus if you're a communist group.
You know, he really needs to go after these people like Nick Sandman did, who went after the newspapers for mischaracterizing him when that Native American or Native Canadian was banging his drum in his face and Nick Sandman just stood there and smiled and wouldn't take the bait. And all the newspapers called him a white supremacist and a racist and all the rest of it. And these black supremacists, just before this Indian guy had been banging the drum in his face, had been shouting all these racist things at them and attacking them. And this Nick Sandman, I mean, he was good as gold. He didn't respond to any of it. He just completely calmly just stood there smiling, refusing to take the bait. And he got all these slanders, and I think he won millions out of it. So what we need to see is Kyle Rittenhouse doing the same now, going after this university and going after Joe Biden for putting out a campaign ad libeling Kyle Rittenhouse as a white supremacist and a terrorist. He really does need to go after these people, I think, because he'll make a lot of money out of it. A Students for Socialism at Arizona State University spokesperson told Fox News that the ultimate goal of the demands is to let the university administration know that they do not feel safe, knowing that a mass shooter is admitted to the school. The goal of these demands is to let the ASU administration know that we, as the ASU community, do not feel safe knowing that a mass shooter who has expressed violent intentions about protecting property over people is so carelessly allowed to be admitted to the school at all, the spokesperson said. Our campus is already unsafe as it is, and we would like to abate this danger as much as possible. Well, if the campus is a dangerous place, I mean, Kyle is the sort of guy that you would want around there to be protecting you. And he's not going to be there either. He's just signed up for online lessons. This is the most ridiculous thing. Surely they must know that it's just online lessons that he's actually going to be there for. And this point here that they make about protecting property over people, this is their main argument, is that a person's life is worth more than any property. And you can say, well, yes, that's true. Life is worth more than what people create within their lives. But then you have to balance that against just willful destruction of people's property. And I think if Carl hadn't actually been fearing for his life, then I don't think he would have shot to kill, because he didn't when that guy pulled his gun on him. He just shot him in the arm. And Kyle was protecting his life. It's not that Kyle was protecting property there. He wasn't saying, look, this guy's trying to burn down this store, so I'm shooting him. He shot them because they were literally trying to kill him. And yet what they're trying to portray here is that he was just protecting property by defending himself in this way. It is an argument, I guess, that they can make is people's lives are worth more than property. And I used to think that. And I used to think, how is it that they can justify killing somebody because they were damaging property or they were trespassing or what have you? But I guess that it's not. It's only that they're just trying to stop people people from stealing the property or damaging it. And it just so happens that they end up dying, I think. It is a debate maybe that we should have. I mean, what do you make of that argument, Grandpa? Property should never be worth more than people. And because I guess this is a reason why they didn't send the troopers in there to go with the Black Lives Matter rioters, because they were burning everything down. But, you know, how much is a person's life worth? What do you make of this argument?
Well, they didn't send the troopers in there because the government is backing those organizations. I mean, that's, we call it like it is here at Radio Albion. These groups are supported by the government, if not directly, at least indirectly. They get tacit support by the government not taking action against them. The problem with the argument when people get into that property is worth more than a human life is you're putting that you're putting the responsibility for that decision on the wrong person. If somebody says, say, somebody decides to break into your home and try to steal your stuff, the person deciding to break into your home has made the decision that your property is worth more than their life. You see, their life value is not the property owner's problem. It's the person making the decision. You're like, well, you know what? I'll just sit here and let you steal my property and hope that you don't decide to go ahead and kill me, you know, while you're at it. You know, because after all, this stuff that I worked hard, worked my ass off my whole life to acquire, you know, it's just not worth this rando that I don't know anything about. It's just not worth his life. The decision isn't for the victim of the property crime to make. When somebody makes the decision to vandalize, loot, destroy, and steal, they are the ones. They are the ones that are making the decision that their life is worth your property, because they're risking their life doing that. I mean, when you live in places such as Florida or Texas, and you know, I mean, here in the U.S., the citizenry is very known to be very well armed. So anybody that makes the decision to do these things understands that they're making that decision and they could be killed for it. So the ones who are making the decisions, they act like, oh, well, someone like Kyle Rittenhouse, they're protecting property. That's evil because, you know, he's deciding that people's lives are worth less than this property. No, the ones that are deciding their own lives, because you're only responsible for yourself, the ones that are making the decision that their own lives are worth less than that property are those that are perpetrating those crimes in the first place. They're the ones who have decided, I'm going to put my life on the line in order to try to steal a pair of shoes or burn down a car lot or whatever the hell they're doing. They're the ones that have made that decision. That's on them. That comes to that personal responsibility. They're the ones that have decided their lives are worth putting on the line and risking to steal, loot, burn, or whatever the case may be. It's not on the people who have decided to defend their property, because after all, it's their property. Yeah, you can make the decision about, you know, whether property, or you can make the argument, I'm sorry, that property, you know, shouldn't be worth a human life. But the person that makes that decision is the one who makes the decision to do the crime in the first place.
You know, that's a good argument there. It applies to the invaders that are trying to illegally invade countries in Europe by boats, and then they end up drowning, and the left end up screaming that it's all our fault for not giving them safe routes to actually break into the country by. And they're the ones that take the decision to get into the boat. They're the ones that take the decision to risk their life because they want this glittering prize at the end of it. And it's just a different glittering prize here, isn't it? It's a pair of sneakers that they're after, that they're willing to risk their lives for when they burn these cities down. Well, the Students for Socialism chapter spokesperson contended that the Rittenhouse trial effectively gives right-winged individuals the license to kill other individuals who are protesting for human rights. Rittenhouse took the lives of innocent people with the intent to do so by strapping an assault rifle to himself in a crowd of unarmed citizens. That is the textbook definition of intention. The decision made by the court is one of thousands of cases that have been influenced by biased judges, predominantly white juries, and mistakes inherent in a judicial system founded off of injustice to begin with, the spokesperson said. So there's quite a lot there. He's claiming that it was a crowd of unarmed citizens. So how come one of those unarmed citizens had a pistol that he was aiming at Rittenhouse's head? They talk about these biased judges here, but most of the time we end up seeing these biased judges being biased against white people, and the same with the predominantly white juries here. And they're saying that he took the lives of innocent people with the intent to do so. I mean, he was going in there with he also had a first aid box there. He went in there with the intent to tend to the wounded, and he had the rifle there to defend himself in case he was attacked. He didn't go in there to kill people. And finally, it says here, it effectively gives right-winged individuals the license to kill other individuals. Well, Kyle wasn't right-wing. He wasn't a right-wing extremist or anything like that. He wasn't political at all. And then we get to the final part of their argument here. They're claiming that that was a protest for human rights. That burning down of Kenosha and the destruction of all those businesses, that was a protest for human rights, apparently. Well, you're allowed to legally protest, but once you start damaging property with a political motive, then that's terrorism. Once you start damaging people or property or threatening people with a political motive behind it, which is what this is, a human rights motive, then that becomes terrorism. So what was going on there is terrorism. It wasn't a protest because they were burning things down, just destroying things. It was terrorism. And he stood up to terrorism. And that's why he has so much support over there in America. Grandpa, what are your final thoughts on all of this for today?
Well, again, I mean, he wouldn't be there doing first aid if this was some sort of, you know, as how did the media put it? Fiery yet peaceful, mostly peaceful protests. You know, I mean, they can twist this around. And now they say, oh, this just gives right wing individuals a license to kill. But we all know that's bullshit. We're not going to see a wave of quote unquote right wing people going out and gunning people down. We're not seeing that. Instead, we saw this black supremacist mow down a bunch of white people and kill them, and the media buried the story. I mean, this is what you get with a bunch of freaking midwits in colleges that sit around, have all this. I'm sitting here looking at how much slander and liability ought to be actionable with this spokesperson and this group and this organization. Who's giving them money? You know, I have to think Kyle's probably going to have enough money on hands that he could just hound these people with law. Lawsuits. I don't know if he'll actually do that or not. I mean, I would imagine at some point he just wants to move on with his life, which is understandable. But the fact they can sit here and just flat out slander and lie about people like that and make all these assertions that they intended to do this and he did this and he's a cold-blooded murderer, it's just really, it's really absurd, over the top. And the fact that you have these midwits that aren't smart enough to sit down and think about, well, you know, that could be like actual, like, I'm slandering this person, you know? I mean, you're not really supposed to be able to do that. We're not going to see any right-wing people going out doing mass slaughter. We know we're not, you know? I mean, it's just more over the top absurdity. And of course, once again, they feel so unsafe. They feel so in danger because this guy's enrolled in an online course. It's just about, they want to shake down the university. They want to get more money. They want to be successful in unpersoning them and put another notch, put another feather in their cap. They took somebody else down. And at some point in time, people got to stand up and say, no, we're not going along with this. You can piss off. You can be outraged. We're not going to give you money. And I have to have the thought, you know, they're also demanding, of course, as usual, that the police be abolished. And you have to wonder, because they're multicultural centers and all of this, they're just foster anti-white race hatred. When they're complaining about the legal decision, they point out mostly white juries. It's always anti-white. So one has to beg the question, what do they intend to do? What's the next step of their anti-white race hating agenda if they abolish the police? I mean, who are they wanting to abolish the police? What, to what end? To what purpose? Because the police are obviously not going around cracking down on these communist groups. So why do they need the police out of the way? What perhaps is their intentions as far as the next step in their anti-white race hate agenda? I think those are legitimate questions. But once again, they're legitimate questions that most people aren't asking.
Well, I think the right wingers, when they see something like this happening, they just stay at home. They're not going to go out there and try to defend property. They're not going to go out there and try and do the police's job for them, because they know that if they do that and anything like this happens, like happened to Kyle Rittenhouse, they are going to be labeled as the offender in this. They're going to be labeled as the white supremacist who went out and attacked the human rights defender. The very fact that Kyle Rittenhouse went there is proof that he was not right wing. Right wingers would not be so stupid as to go into the middle of a Black Lives Matter riot. Right wingers just stand back and wait until everybody wakes up at the end of it and sees what was really going on there and comes to our side. We don't need to go in there and defend anything when this sort of thing goes on, because it's the best advert there is for people joining us and not joining Black Lives Matter. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.